Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, July 27th, 2018. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
I'm glad you're here. John Martellaro, I'm happy you are here too. How are you?
Yeah, I don't know about fantastic, but maybe, oh my God, cool.
Hey, take it as you can get it. And that's still pretty good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So your new nickname is John, oh my God, cool Martellaro, as opposed to the old one, which we can't share here.
What we can share is that we have two sponsors today. Our first one is LinkedIn Jobs, and our second one is Jamf Now, which I think is absolutely awesome. So we'll talk about them in a bit. First, though, I want to dive into what could be some tips or could be a deconstruction of our psyches. Okay, so here's the deal. Before we started recording, we were all chatting about the iPhone, and so what came up out of this was John saying at one point, "Well, I turn off cellular data for all of my apps, and
most."
Most of your apps, yes. And so that got me thinking about, well, different iPhone management things, but also this whole thing with the data. And John, why you're doing this, and so we just kind of need to head down this path.
It all stems from my philosophy of handling the phone, and that is I shut down everything I can until I need it, as opposed to willy-nilly allowing everything to be turned on, especially when there's an update and there's new features. The first time I identify something that is a new communications feature, I ask myself, do I need this feature now? Will I need it soon? What's my user profile on it? And if I don't think I'm going to be using it or needing it, I shut it down, as opposed to just ignoring it and leaving it on. And that's all started with my use of cellular data for apps. I go through and I say, do I want this app? Do I consciously, John, want this app talking on cellular data when I'm out and about and I'm not at home on Wi-Fi? And some of them stay on in the background, even though they're not running. And I ask myself, do I want this to happen? Do I need this to happen? And so I go through and I say, well, what do I need on the fly? I need Safari on the fly. I need weather on the fly. I need Apple Pay on the fly. I need I can't think of any other ones right now, but weather, radar scope, things that I would need when I'm out and about. And so probably 90% of my apps are not enabled for Wi-Fi. And it came up as an interesting use case the other day because I'm an Amazon Prime member and I was in Whole Foods. And she said, are you an Amazon Prime member? And I said, oh, yeah. And she said, well, you have a smartphone? I said, yeah. And she said, well, you know, run up your Amazon app and type in Whole Space Foods space QR code. And you'll get a QR code on the display. Hold it under the scanner and we'll give you a discount. And it didn't work. And after a second or two of reflection, actually about 600 milliseconds, I realized I don't have the Amazon app enabled for cellular data. So I said, just be patient with me. Meanwhile, the people behind in line are going, who is this jerk?
Yeah, what's up with this guy?
Right. So I enable Amazon app for cellular data, and then I get my QR code, and I get my discount at Whole Foods. And it was a pretty nice discount. So it kind of brings home the story about how, you know, you have to weigh convenience against considered security and use of your phone. So that was where we started.
So
and
this
I'm sure Dave has some reactions to all this.
Well, yeah, this fascinated me, right? Because I help a lot of people with their stuff, either with our questions with Mac Geek Gab or with my Dave the Nerd consulting business, or just because I'm Dave and people ask me questions, as I'm sure happens to both of you guys and of course many of our listeners here. Mm-hmm. And I have encountered people that do things like this, right? Where they just think they hear one little tidbit of information, perhaps misinformation. They don't see the full picture and you know, go and like disable, you know, cellular for everything, or delete cookies every day or something, like things like that. Right. Well,
quit every app every day,
quit every app all the time. Right. Yep. Yeah, exactly. And you doing this was really fascinating to me, John. And it, not surprising, because I know you, we've worked together for a very long time and known each other even longer, but it's fascinating, right? Because you're making this choice extremely informed. And in fact, the path you just described, it would leave no one sitting and wondering, why in the world does John do that? Right. They might say, I understand why. And I say they, I'm certainly speaking for myself. I totally understand why you do this. I would not make that choice for myself, but I don't think you're making the wrong choice for you. Right. And that is, that's of course, you know, my philosophy with consulting and helping people is not forcing them to make choices. It's educating them so that they make the right choices for themselves. And in this case, you know, you're obviously doing that, John, but it was really fascinating. I thought, whoa, you know, what a great conversation to have, to kind of shine a light on the full light on why someone might do this. And perhaps, you know, we've got some listeners that might not have had the full picture. And so now we can shine that light and say, okay, you know, if you're making this decision for yourself, fine, but do it eyes wide open. And if you're not doing this, here's a reason why one person does. Maybe not why you might, but certainly, you know, realistic. So I have a couple of questions to ask about what you described there. Are your reasons for this privacy, security, limiting your exposure to extra data usage? Are you on a fixed amount of, you know, a limited amount of data every month or things like that? That's sort of the question. Deeper.
It all started when I had a legacy AT&T plan where I had about 200 gigabytes a month. Mm. When I first got my iPhone, I was on this plan that allowed me to, you know, get a new phone every year for $199. And we had this 200 gigabyte plan, and it worked
probably 200 fine. Megabytes.
Yeah, I'm guessing 200
megabytes. 200 megabytes. I'm sorry.
I'm all over that.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. And back in the days of the iPhone 3G, the iPhone 4, maybe the 4S and 5, that was fine. I was running around 60 megabytes a month, maybe 120 at max, and everything was cool. And then I started getting these into the range of these iPhone 6s and 6s and 7s, where the data communications capability of the phone was tremendous, and I was outstripping my plan. So I went into AT&T, and they said, yeah, you're on a very old plan. We can give you 2 gigabytes a month for the same price, just it's a different named plan. So early on, I got into the habit of controlling which apps could access cellular for the sake of just my data cap. But also, I was also mindful of, and at the same time, there was these features that Apple was rolling out, and I can't think of anything specifically, but I remember the feeling that Apple has this, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but an enthusiastic, perhaps even happy-go-lucky approach to features that you use with glee. And whenever that happens, the physicist in John Martellaro says, yeah, what could go wrong? What's the underlying issue?
I've actually heard you say this on many occasions.
Yeah. And why do I need this service? And what are the security and privacy implications? I try to think about what I do. And so in many cases, I had this feeling that Apple was, you know, rolling something out with great enthusiasm, and it's something that everybody would embrace and love, but I didn't need it right away. And I thought, well, why am I going to just leave it on, chew up battery, compromise privacy and security when I don't need it? So my philosophy of my phone has evolved to the point where I shut everything down except what I need and what I can use. And so when I look at the list of apps that can access cellular data, I look at that app and I say, I know what that app does, and I know what service it does provides me. There's no reason in this universe why I should be running when I'm out and about. When I'm home on Wi-Fi, fine, you know, but it doesn't need to be on when I'm on cellular data and I'm out and about. So I'll turn it off. And when I need it, like at Whole Foods, turn it on. I don't want to get into the habit of, you know, being so clamped down that I have to stand in line and piss everybody off and, you know, fuss with my phone, but I just use that as an example.
Sure. But yeah, no, it's a good example because it highlights the reevaluation of the decision in a moment where it makes perfect sense to do that, right? You're not making unilateral decisions.
And when I got home, I said to myself, you know, we hit Whole Foods because it's kind of far away from us. I hit Whole Foods about once a month. I turned it back off. Because I don't need the Amazon app running when I'm on cellular. So
it's interesting.
With iOS 12, John, when that comes out, you need to set up a shortcut so that when you get to Whole Foods, it either turns cellular back on for the Amazon app or gives you a reminder to do that.
Right.
Geofence with a shortcut. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
I like that. Hey, I do want to, I know you have our sponsors to talk about, Jeff, but
it's
before
like
we leave this,
my mind.
Before we read this segment, there is one thing that you mentioned, John, and I want to make sure we don't communicate any misconceptions. And that is that you said you need cellular data for Apple Pay. And so you leave that on. I'm assuming by that you meant you leave cellular data for your wallet app on. Cellular data is not required. Data of any kind is not required for Apple Pay's use. It is, of course, required as you're setting it up because you've got to enter your credit cards and it needs to link with your banks and all of that stuff. But once it is configured on your phone is capable of providing, just like your credit card is capable of providing the information to the terminal without any additional data connection. Your phone works the same way. Apple Pay will work. The terminal is the thing that needs the connection via whatever method they've set up. Right. But the phone does not need a connection for that to happen. Just
good clarification.
All right. Well, we do have sponsors today. And our first is LinkedIn Jobs. So let's say that you need to find a new employee to fill whatever this awesome job is you have at your company, why would you not go where the largest professional network is in the whole world to find the people that you want? And the answer that I come up with is, well, of course you would go to that place, and that place is LinkedIn. So LinkedIn has a whole service called LinkedIn Jobs where you can post those positions that you have open. And the great thing is that you are so much more likely to find exactly the right employee the first try, because the people that are already on LinkedIn, which by the way includes 70% of the workforce in the United States, these are the people that tend to have the qualifications for the job that you're offering, and they're the people that have the enthusiasm and interest in the job that you're posting. Unlike just some random board where you can post your jobs and you don't even have any idea who's applying at all, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. LinkedIn Jobs, that's where you're going to have a much higher likelihood of finding the right person. So, of course, you have to pay to post your job listings. That's how business works. But you can save some money while you're doing this. And here's how, simply because you listen to Daily Observations. Hurry over to linkedin.com/TDO and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/TDO. And terms and conditions do apply. So thank you, LinkedIn, for being our sponsor. And our second sponsor today is Jamf Now. And Jamf Now is this awesome service that I've been using for quite a while now. It's a mobile device management system. And it sounds complicated when you say it that way, but it's like crazy simple and easy to use. I'm keeping track of my iPhone, my iPads, and my Mac. Plus, I'm keeping track of my parents' iOS and macOS devices as well. So in essence, I'm doing what businesses do, but I'm doing it for my family. So if you if you need to keep track of all your devices, you want to know serial numbers, you want to know operating system version numbers, you need to remind someone, hey, it's time to get that OS update installed. You want to make sure people have strong passwords. Hey, you can enforce that with Jamf now. You can keep track of the apps that are installed. You can keep track of other settings. And it's just this wonderful tool that's like having your own IT department for managing your technology without having to go to school and get all of this crazy expensive equipment and software. You just use Jamf now. And the awesome thing is it's really affordable. So it's free to sign up, and the first three devices that you include in your account are free as well. And that's for life. Devices after that are only $2 per device per month. So it scales up and stays affordable, and it's a wonderful tool. I'm glad I'm using it, and I would love for all of you to use it too. So what you need to do is go over to jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account. Start managing all your devices. It's awesome. It's easy, and it's affordable. Thank you, Jamf, now for being our sponsor. Okay. The other thing that I wanted to look at today or talk about today, and this stems from a comment Brian made the other day where he said that he was buying a UPS for an uninterrupted power supply for his computer setup and for his home theater setup. And he made a joke about lightning strikes, and where he lives, those don't happen very often. But it got all of us talking about the whole need for this power management and protection for our devices. I thought we should dive into that a little bit today too.
That works.
Yeah. So first off, I'll just tell everyone what I'm using. I have a collection of APC brand uninterrupted power supplies. They're that 650 model, and I have one for my computer workstation. I have one for my whole network setup, and then I have a third that's for the home theater setup that I have. And then I also have a lightning surge suppressor on the coax line for the cable coming into my place. So I've actually completely electrically isolated all of my technology devices from the potential threats from the outside world.
Well, that's the key, right? I've learned more than I ever wanted to know about UPSs. First, it started, my education on this started when I was living in Austin, where we would have regular lightning storms that wouldn't necessarily cause any significant number of power spikes, but the brownouts are where the issue, at least in terms of AC power, that we would see, where the power dips either to a completely zero scenario, like the power goes out, or just dips to maybe half of what the voltage should be, and then immediately comes right back. Right, that's what I call a brownout. Whereas a blackout would be the power is off for many minutes or hours or perhaps even days, as I've also experienced. But it's those brownouts where things dip and then immediately come back. So there is a power surge involved, but it's not necessarily a surge above normal tolerance levels. It's just that surge back to normal levels. Mm-hmm. And what happens with electronics is as the power dips, the power supplies, which generally are converting AC power that we get from our walls to DC power, start working a little bit overtime, right? To compensate for that and keep things smooth, right? For their DC components, hard drives and RAM and motherboards and all that stuff. But there is a point below which that simply does not work, and that's when they shut off. So if you have, say, a spinning hard drive, it's a great example, right? The hard drive's spinning, the power starts to dip, the power supply starts working overtime to, to grab enough juice to still convert down to what it needs. And then suddenly it doesn't have enough. So it says, okay, we're done. It cuts off power to the drive, and the drive starts to spin down. And then the power comes right back on. And now this drive that's spinning down suddenly has full power again. It's just like turning the switch off and on real fast, which we all know, hopefully, we all know, now we all know, mm-hmm. is a very bad thing for electronics, especially bad for moving parts like that. Or with a hard drive, you know, it's definitely better to let it spin down. But even with, you know, solid state stuff, motherboards and SSDs and those sorts of things, it is best not to just, you know, shock them back to life with power immediately. And those brownouts would cause things to just fry all the time. And a surge protector is not going to protect you against that because it doesn't have any extra power to add to the equation, right? It only can protect and, you know, depending on the quality of it, might not do anything, but it only can keep things from going above a certain level. It cannot help when things are dipping. So that's where I started using UPSs. And I now have them on all of my computers and all of my televisions. Also my router, all of my disk stations, all my, you know, my NAS devices, all of that stuff. And in addition to protecting against exactly what I described, they are also by default now also conditioning the power that's coming into all of these various power supplies. And I find anecdotally that my devices tend to last a very long time. Certainly I have devices that die and sometimes it'll even be the power supply that dies, but definitely, you know, I feel like, you know, we've got some TVs that are older, like, you know, we've got a really old plasma TV that's still cranking along. I mean, it may die today, but it's already lasted longer than any similar vintage, you know, TVs that friends and neighbors have.
How long is that, Dave? Because I had a plasma that still, well, it was running great after 10 years.
Yeah, it's about, I'm trying to think, what was the last? Math, we're in 2018 now. Yeah, I think I'm at about 12 years on that one.
Pretty cool. Nice.
Yeah, which is pretty good. And other things that just last for a very, very long time. And I have to think that, you know, without forcing the power supply to work any harder than it needs to and sort of mitigating that work and offloading it essentially to this battery backup unit, I'm able to keep these things alive. And then it also does protect from those brownouts and spikes. So that's, you know, in terms of AC power, that's where I am with UPSs. I will throw in, because you mentioned it, Jeff, DC power or DC devices, meaning coax cables, like mm-hmm. the things that come into your cable modem or Ethernet cables or phone cables, any cable that's coming in from the outside needs to be protected because oftentimes it's the DC path that blows up devices.
Yes.
Far more regularly than the AC path. I've seen very few devices, even non-surge protected devices, I've seen very few of them blow up on the AC power side. I've certainly seen it, but far more common is when you have a lightning strike nearby and it charges up the DC lines that are coming in, like the, you know, the cable or the phone, or, you know, if you have Ethernet coming in from the outside, because that's the way your setup is, you know, those things, if you're going to run out and do one thing, it's go and protect all of those things. And APC, you mentioned, makes their ProtectNet device for Ethernet. You can get a surge protector, an inline surge protector for coax for your cable modem line. Like, just go and do these things, because otherwise you will run into when lightning strikes.
Hey, Dave, we have a tips theme here. So I thought I would jump in. And one of the common threads that is amongst all three of us is that we've isolated our communications gear onto a single UPS. That means that you may shut down other equipment. You shut down your TV, you shut down your computers, maybe, if you think it's necessary. But you'll still have your cable modem and your router and your switch and maybe your and definitely your airport equipment, so that you can still make Wi-Fi phone calls. You can still check the radar and see what the weather is like and still be on the air with your communications equipment long after you've exhausted the battery capacity on your other UPSs for your desktop computers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's a good point, because I suffer here, thankfully, not as frequently as we used to, but it still happens where we get multi-day power outages. And generally, the head end of, you know, we are all on Comcast here, which is a cable modem service, or Xfinity as they're trying to rebrand it. And that that signal, unless the lines for that have been ripped down, obviously, but barring that, that signal generally tends to last for about 8 hours before their battery backups die at their head end stations. And of course, if the head end is still with power and it just happens to be our house or neighborhood that's not, then, you know, we can remain on the cable modem as long as we're able to power the cable modem. And that can make a big difference, because those things, if you're smart about it, those things don't take up a whole lot of juice, right? You know, cable modem and a router, very, very low power devices. So, you know,
so one might consider buying an even bigger UPS for that small amount of equipment that you could run for days on the internet. Even
it's possible.
Yeah. Most of your power's down.
Yeah. Of course, really the way to go is to get those solar tiles from Tesla, and then, you know, you don't have to worry about any of this
there
crap.
There you go.
That, I cannot wait. Like, I was first on the list with my, you know, $1,000 deposit for those. The moment they tell me I'm allowed to start, you know, having them come and install those, that I will. So it's not inexpensive, but, you know, generally speaking, you can kind of finance it out over, I think they've got a plan for like 30 years that basically you take the money that you would have been sending to your electric company and you just pay off the note with that. So it cash flow wise, it really isn't even a change for you. So
that's very cool.
Yep.
Hey, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. But my guess is that we'll probably get some questions from listeners about APC, or excuse me, UPSs and power management. And listeners, let me know if you have questions, and then we'll do a follow-up show where we dive into all of that for you. So, Dave, thank you for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me. This is a fun one. Nice little deep dive. I like it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. John, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, I enjoyed the discussion too. Nice discussion. Thanks for having me.
It was great. And thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO, and get $50 off your first job post. Also, thank you to Jamf Now for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, jamf.com. That's jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free device management account. And remember, the first three devices on your account are free for life. So thank you to LinkedIn Jobs and to Jamf Now for being our sponsor. Listeners, thank you so much for being here. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. And for those of you that are coming to WordCamp Denver tomorrow, July 28th, I'm excited to see you. Be sure and say hi. Everyone have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.